You may be seated. Today I want to complete what I started last week. We had hoped to in one setting and time did not allow. Hopefully you still have the document that we had. Perhaps there may be some in the rear. The scripture role of the Grace Testament Church Ministry. The scripture role of the Grace Testament Ministry. To this end, Elder Liberman is doesn't read it. I'm going to ask you to turn to the passage we were focusing on last week. And that is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Amen. In conjunction with that, this morning, we're going to also, for a minute, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 and 23. Amen. And it is our aim to complete the presentation of what I deemed to be the New Year's address and message to the church. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll move back into base ministering that we have been dealing with for some time. That is the scripture doctrine of regeneration. All right. Everyone that has 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Elder Liberman, read 13th and 14th verse, and then I want you to back up a little bit. Back up to 11 and read and start there. Read from 11 through 14 and we'll go forward in that manner.
So,
all right, everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, call your scripture.
2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with the 11th verse.
Mm-hmm.
Whereunto, King James Version, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
My Lord.
Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us.
Okay, now I want to focus on Greek interlineal, and we will read the translation there as it is drawn from the manuscript writings. And in doing so, Elder, well, read the whole thing there also. Amen. Those who have your interlineal Greek Bibles, you follow along, you read along, and then those who do not have, follow along. Amen. Follow intently. Listen to the readings. Maybe a little different there. And in fact, that's the best reason for reading it. All right. Those that have it, read along. Those that do not have it, listen intently. All right. Elder Reed.
2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with the 11th verse, King Greek translation.
Mm-hmm.
For which was appointed I a herald and an apostle,
mm-hmm,
and a teacher. For which cause also these things I suffer. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed.
I'm not disappointed. I know whom I have believed.
And I have been persuaded.
I have been persuaded. I'm not being persuaded. Amen. I have been persuaded.
That able he is.
He is able.
The deposit of me. To God to that day.
To God to that day. We see this same word when we get down in 14th verse. Greek word, rendered God. King James, I think, is keep. It's a little stronger. Keeping something and guarding it. Guarding it is a little stronger than keeping it. Amen. All right, read verse 13.
A pattern have thou of being healthy words, which from me thou heardest.
These are healthy words, and the pattern of them. And in case anyone have any conjecture as to what these health words are, the Holy Spirit has distinctly given the identification as to what they are. What are the health words?
In faith and love. In Christ Jesus.
Help the words of those which are from me. That which from me. From me thou heardest. You heard from me. You heard in faith and love. From me. Speaking of Paul's gospel. Yes, yes. Amen. And Paul is not being arrogant. He is only testifying so that when we read it, we understand what distinct volume of message and words he is referencing.
Yes.
Amen. He's not referencing the words of the Old Testament. I know some will say, well, isn't all the Word of God, amen, God's Word? Absolutely. And then some, as we were dealing with in Sunday school this morning, will run to the passage where it said it, and say all word of God is inspired by God and it's profitable to teach it. And of course, you've got to read that correctly.
Yes,
amen. You have the absence of the definite article there. So the word is not all, it's every. And what he is saying is that in each dispensation, every word concerning the economy of the policy for that dispensation falls under the teaching for that dispensation, the reproving for that dispensation, the correction for that dispensation, and instruction and righteousness for that dispensation. And
amen.
You, amen, are okay as long as you operate in the dispensation that is applicable to you.
Right.
In our case, that would be grace. So we won't take the teachings of the law, we would take the teachings of our contract.
Yes, amen.
With proof from our contract.
Yes.
Amen. For instructions and righteousness from our contract.
Glory.
Amen. And this is the message that he conveys to Timothy to God.
Glory.
All right. Read, Elder.
Verse 14. The good deposit.
It's a good deposit.
God through the Holy Spirit.
God through the Holy Spirit. The good deposit. Amen.
Indwelling in us.
You see that Greek word again, and we shall deal with it in a minute. God, how are you going to guard it? Through the Spirit indwelling in us. Now, what we were basically conveying last week, we were talking about what should be the scripture role of the Grace Testament Church. We talked about the attitude of the church, that should be similar to the Bereans. Mm-hmm. Amen. We described what the church is. It's to call out ones in eternity. We talked about the scripture characteristics of the grace ministry. We enumerated them. I shall do so again. Number one, the grace scriptures are its charter. Right. Number two, the grace recipients are its circumference. Mm-hmm. Number three, Christ is its center, the head. And number four, Holy Spirit is its conductor. Right. Then we went through and just kind of reiterating a few things before we go forward. Amen. That as Paul speaking, and we just got through saying the pattern of that he speaks to of these words are that which is contained in the volume of truth that was given to the Grace Church. It's our contract. Amen. And through it, we live by faith. We dealt with what living by faith actually exudes. And the fact that faith is not some type of force that you use to get what you want. Mm-hmm. Amen. But the fact that through the Word of God and through the workings of God in the several dispensations, and we corroboratedly refer to Isaiah 55:8 and Hebrews chapter 11 of those that were called to do things that were beyond human reasoning. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so basically you take all of this now, and this should lead us to the scripture application of why we are assembling. What is the purpose? What is the function of the ministry? Amen. And in this sense, if Christ is the center, then it is the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ, the words of Christ that should form our mindsets. We had gone through this. And also that we as the grace recipients are the circumference. We're not in the center. Amen. Nothing revolves around us. Somehow our mindsets been structured to feel and to view things as us being in the center and things revolving around us, which is very opposite. And especially in the church, amen, Christ is the center and we all revolve around him. That's the way it goes. Amen. And so today we'll look at the third item, just kind of moving through here. I want to try to finish this up today. That the headship, he who is the head of the assembly of the church, the focus, the nucleus, that which everyone should focus on in the present dispensation, amen, as we assemble together, as we come together, as we function as an organized body of believers, we come together, it's to reflect on Christ, it's to worship him, it's a time of honoring and giving praise and adoration to the Lord. Amen. This engenders the hearing of a message. Amen. Now, some time ago, this was a long time ago, someone was saying what a great service they had, that the spirit was so high until the minister couldn't minister. Yeah. Amen. That would never happen here. That would never happen here. Amen. We haven't had church if we haven't heard the word of God.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. So everything revolves around the message.
Yeah, right.
Amen. From the word of God. So in a sense, the mere formality of worshiping God is not in itself evidence of spirituality. Amen. Last week we read from Colossians chapter 2, verses 20-23. We may or may not have time to look at that. There are some nuggets in there we would love to be able to pull out, but maybe we will and maybe we won't. I don't know. We'll see that. But The safest way to operate scripturally is to focus on Christ as the head, as the personality. Many come to church thinking that they should be entertained. And the churches, especially the mega churches, they're bought into that.
Yes.
Amen. This is not an entertainment center. I think I'll repeat that.
Yes.
In fact, I'm going to say it in relationship to all churches. Should not. No assembling should be for the purpose of entertaining those who are assembled.
Yes.
The only one who should be entertained is the Lord.
Oh.
Hmm? So it's about entertaining the Lord, not that we should come together to be entertained.
Oh.
Here again, as we look at the verse that has been read before us, hold the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love,
hallelujah,
which is in Christ Jesus. You notice the focus there is in Christo Iizu,
yes,
in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
In Christ. Oh my God, my Lord. I wonder how much assembling is going on this morning, and the only focus is in Christ Jesus.
Oh.
Amen. I tell you, there is nothing else, amen, to talk about, and there's nothing else to focus on when we come together.
Amen.
It's not about Jesus. We might as well, amen, go somewhere else.
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
Many of the things that are being done in churches and assemblies should be done somewhere else.
Yeah.
Amen. Anything that takes away and focuses away from the head, you have a malfunctioning operation going on there.
Oh,
amen.
Yes.
Today's local assemblies face great challenges from without, as the allure of competition for recognition of so-called successful ministry have resulted in them bringing in false teaching concerning Christ and the scripturally correct message of salvation. Notice I said the scripturally correct message of salvation. However, there is danger, great danger I should say, also from men. Within, Paul warned the Ephesian elders of both of these in the 20th chapter of Acts, verses 29 and 30. Here, he spoke of these dangers when he addressed them for the last time. Here we quote from Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. And he said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock.
Amen.
Also of your own selves, some of you,
yes,
out from you shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." There is constantly the temptation to prioritize those things which ultimately result in the saints being drawn away from Christ. Even the local congregation itself, this congregation, if our priority is on programs and activities, we aren't careful, it can take the place of Christ. Some come to church and their focus is on the programs and functions of the church. Amen. When the functions and programs should all be about Christ. Amen. And this, as he spoke to them, and as we look at many of today's assemblies, we see the picture of a lack of comprehending this informative admonition that Paul made. He admonished them that these things would happen. And we see them here, all in the church assemblies today, and when you look around at the way, amen, it was originally conveyed as directives in the church, it seems that all of this has seemingly been all but lost in this church age. In essence, spiritual blindness is their true condition, as they wrongly force the perception that the prioritized possessions of physical earthly things are wonderful. When in fact, someone said, well, what's wrong with that? Well, it is wrong when they are visualized in lieu of Christ.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Yes.
God is, amen, not identified by physical blessings.
Yes.
Amen. It can be a testimony to the workings of God in your life, but the greater testimony is the essence of what he has done.
Yes. Yes.
Remember, the gauge is focusing on Christ.
Yes.
When the focus is on Christ, you're moving in the right direction.
Right.
When the focus is away from Christ, you're moving in the wrong direction. And most of the time, when you're moving in a direction away from Christ, it is to personalities.
Yes. Yes.
Here we coin a term called me-ism. me. Me-ism is completely adverse to Christ as the center of the church, in that he has been and he is the preeminence. He is the first place in all things. As we quote from Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it reads, and he himself is the head of the body, the assembly. Who is a beginning? Firstborn out of the dead, that he might become, and of course, here you have a subjunctive aorist. Subjunctive would be might become, the aorist would be having become. Amen. In all things, himself first. He always was first. Amen. And he is first. One of the most meaningful exercises in worship is the recognition of Christ's predetermined eternal accomplishment in the perpetuation of his elect's salvation. I think I'll repeat that. One of the most meaningful exercises in worship is recognizing Christ's predetermined eternal accomplishment in the perpetuation has caused you to be saved. This is what worshiping is primarily about.
Yes.
It is very important,
Lord,
that the saints would not ever get their eyes off of him.
Yes.
And unto other men of things. It is to this benefit that the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper and encourages the saints to come together and remember him in the breaking of bread.
Lord.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And this is where, amen, we take our directives. Now, there's always somebody that's going to be smart or think they're smart looking through the Bible. You know, come out saying the Lord's Supper is not necessary, and some have done this, and of course, it's not a condition, but it is a directive. And the purpose was, as we see in the early churches, the purpose was for them to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some churches do it every first Sunday, but it's just it become ritual, and others, some other denominations use it as a sacrament. Amen. But the idea is to focus on the head. It's an exercise for us to focus on the head. It's not even about us. It's just about us focusing on the head. And no, it's not a meal. That's the dumbest thing I've heard to anybody. It's not a meal. Amen. He said to break the bread and drink up the cup, and that's it. And he said, and if you want a meal, eat at home.
Yes,
is that scripture?
Yes,
all right. Amen. So now, the breaking of bread is not a means of distributing God's grace, as there are no emphasis of sacramental transactions in the grace contract. Nor was it simply added on the end of another meeting of the local church. And this is why when we do it, it should take center stage. And this is, amen, this is very serious business to focus on Christ. Amen. This is why if I perform a wedding, don't know, part of it will not be the communion. Amen. It's not for ceremonial purposes. In fact, when you do this, this is not for you, it's for Him.
Glory.
Amen. It's for focusing on Him. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we are clearly historically informed that the early church came together on the first day of the week specifically to break bread. Amen. The purpose was that they were to remember or focus on the Lord as they partook of the bread and the cup. It was not some hasty thing that was which brought any special grace to the partakers. It was simply a time of reflection, and certainly as they reflected, they worshiped Him. Amen. And that's what it's about. Amen. In the present dispensation, it is the, as we said, the practice of to assemble together on the first day of the week. Amen. That's a very convenient day. Everyone is off. Amen. Not that we put any one day over the other. But that is the day, amen, that is set aside. But it should be to reflect on Christ and respond in kind through worship. It is a time of honoring and giving praise and adoration to the Lord and hearing the word of God. Amen. Not just some formality of worshiping. Amen. That's not what it's about. Amen. I think hopefully we'll have the time. I'm going to take the time. I want you to stop and turn to Colossians chapter 2. Focus on verses 20-23. Amen. It's time out was never time in, but it's since it's going on, it's time out for this foolishness. Amen. Of men setting agendas, as we read earlier in our pastor's pen, coming together, and it's for social, political purposes, and amen, the focus is on Washington and on what President and Congress are doing in Washington, or what's happening in the Supreme Court. And during the week, if you know, you pick up your newspaper and so forth, and you go online like I do, internet, you watch television and so forth. Yes, learn these things. Know what's happening. Amen. But when we come together, amen, it's about the Lord. It's about the Lord.
Amen.
That's not the subject. Amen. When you look into the Bible, you look at the Word of God, you see the time of the first century, Apostle Paul. He's writing all of these epistles, and do you know what's going on in Rome at the time? All kind of things. There was even a Jewish group that was organized, and they were like freedom fighters, and they were trying to get rid of the Romans. Amen. Do you see Paul? Paul didn't even mention that. He did not mention who was in Rome and who was in the Senate in Rome. Who was in the Sanhedrin court, what they were doing, and the politics. And we're not saying that these things unimportant. But when we come together to assemble, the purpose is to magnify and in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and rose because of your justification. And if your focus is anywhere that else on a prioritized basis, you are wasting good time. Oh my God.
Glory. Yeah.
Oh, preach it. Hallelujah.
I know that's not popular. And I know that's not the way to fill the house. But you're not focusing on him. You cannot focus on him and on yourself at the same time. Remember, the prior point was that we are the circumference. If we are the circumference, then he is the nucleus. He is the center. So it's about the Lord. Everybody got that? Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, say, amen. Elder, read that from the King James, and we're just going to take the time this morning. I hope I can get through today, and if I don't, I'll finish up next week. All right. The second chapter of Colossians, you know, we've got to. Let's back up. Let's back up to verse 18.
Okay. Colossians chapter 2, beginning with the 18th verse, King James translation. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puff up by his fleshly mind.
And what's wrong with that? Verse 19.
And not holding the head. From which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God.
Now that which is a lifeline. And not those things that's being focused on. Amen. When you focus away from those things, when it is the head from which you draw your being.
Yes, sir.
Huh? The scripture that says, in him we move, we live, we have our being. Amen. Oh, my God. It's not about anything outside of Christ. Amen. On a prioritized basis. Or not even on an equal basis. All right, read.
Verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ,
if those of us who have identified with his death
from the rudiments of the world,
we have moved from, and we're going to go to the Greek on that, basic rudiments or elements of the world.
Why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?
Why has worshiping God found its focus on rites and rituals and found its focus on things that are completely outside of the realm of focusing on Christ. And so, here's what they get into. Read.
Verse 21. Touch not. Taste not. Handle not. Which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh.
All right, I want to read that in the Greek, Elder, for time's sake. I want you to read verse 22 and 23 from the Greek. Listen intently, follow him if you have, amen, the text before you. All right, verse 22, read.
Which things are all for corruption in the using, according to the injunctions and teachings of men.
You see, how some things and practices have found a way into the churches.
Have mercy.
It's just mysterious. It didn't come from the scriptures. said, where did it come from? I don't know, but it didn't come from it didn't come from the Word of God.
Mm-mm.
Not our gospel.
Mm-mm.
Not our gospel. Now, some of it has come from mingling and mixing dispensations.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Amen. And so you've gone back in the Old Testament and you read something and you brought it over here. But our instructions and directives are all there in our contract.
Amen.
That's the way it works. Read.
Which things are a repute indeed,
mm-hmm.
having a wisdom in self-imposed worship.
Mm-hmm. See there? See that?
Have mercy.
Not about Christ.
Oh.
Not about Christ.
Oh, have mercy.
They're always talking about, I can sing like angels or preach like Paul.
Oh, have
mercy. They don't mean that.
Oh, have mercy.
They don't like Paul's reading. Because if you don't like his writings, you sure don't like his preaching. Huh? Because he wrote about the things that he preached and he taught.
Yes, he did.
Absolutely. And these are the things, these were the instructions.
Glory.
But this is boring to some.
Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you.
Now either Christ is the head and he's the center, or he's not. And we do something else that people are interested in. But not here. And hopefully not in God's assembly, where those sincere, of course, not to say that they're not sincere, but you know, you can be sincerely wrong.
Yes.
Not those who comprehend Christ and focus on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If Christ becomes boring, we're in trouble.
No.
If we got to do something else to hold your attention, and Christ is not enough to hold your attention, amen, we're in trouble.
Oh,
did you finish that?
No, I'm verse.
All right, 23.
Which things are a repute indeed, having a wisdom in self-imposed worship and humility and severity of the body, not in honor any for satisfaction of the flesh.
What he's saying there is, Job, amen, it's abomination. I'm just rephrasing it. You are refuting Christ and you're doing things to satisfy your flesh. When people come to church, they should have a good time. They should want to come because there's something there for them. As though Christ isn't enough. You know, it has to be all about him and not about us. Not about us. We should program things, amen, so that we'll be satisfied. Remember, assembling is not about us being entertained. It's about God being entertained.
Oh.
It's not about us being pleased.
Hallelujah.
It's about him being pleased.
Glory.
It is not to magnify and glorify us. It is to magnify and glorify him.
Glory.
Can you say him?
Yeah. Yeah. Glory to God.
Now,
hallelujah. Yes.
Corroboration of this in Matthew 15 and 8. The Lord Jesus spoke of those who draw nigh, quoting unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In the true sense, worship is the overflow of a heart which has been occupied with Christ throughout the days prior to that moment of gathering.
Yes.
and assembling. So we should not assume God's approval simply because we are assembled. But it is our focus on the Lord and recognition of his eternal blessings that should dominate occasion and reason for our gathering. Amen. As we reference Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. The headship, Christ, the Godhead. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3 states, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ," as Paul writes and gives instruction, "the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." In this light, Christ should be the only one to whom the church gathers. And as such, is to recognize as the head of the church, referencing Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and Colossians 1:18. No man is to take his place, present himself as head over the church. We have striven really hard here, and we pray, amen, God help us each day, amen, that there be no personalities in this local assembly, but the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. They talk about pastors having charisma, whatever that is, amen. And if I don't have any, I'm glad I don't have any, amen. Does Christ have charisma? He is really the head. That's where, amen, our focus must be. And the way it really is that Jesus is the head of the church, and he has given gifted men to the church for the building up of the saints, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. But these men are not of themselves to rule over the saints, as we touched on last week. Those whom the Holy Spirit raises up as leaders, and these are instructions as how we should operate, we have to function among the saints, not over them as a special class. Amen. We have reference Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The honor of headship which God established in creation with Adam as head over the human race was reflective of his structure of ordination. This testimony evinces the foreordination of the new creation under Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. This order of headship under Christ with the elect man, who symbolically is the manifested symbol of Christ, being head over the elect woman, who is a picture of the church. This is to be comprehended by us, by God's people in local assemblies. Some wanted to make a big deal, amen, out of the instructions that we gave when we were performing the marriage ceremony. Amen. But see, knowledge goes a long way toward not speaking and walking in ignorance. This is all tokenism. Tokenism. In that this order does not imply inferiority of the woman, as is seen in the fact that Christ himself, who is God in manifestation, he voluntarily placed himself under God in accomplishing our redemption, as we reference Philippians 2 and 8. Now, the trait of a Grace Testament assembly is that it practices its order of headship in accordance with the teaching of the gospel of grace scriptures. Ordained men and women are to lead the local church in guiding it, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 11, and instructing it, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11, 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 14, verse 34, guiding and instructing it in God's manifested order in his new creation. This manifested order is structured in keeping in mind that submission to God's order of headship in the local assembly testifies that the head, Christ, is its center.
Glory, glory. Yes.
Now the last point. The Holy Spirit is his conductor.
Yes.
This fact is structured in the verses of Scripture. Again, hold the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith, the love which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, God, the good deposit through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. As we actually look at that text, amen, we see in verse 12 the expression of confidence in God's ability to guard his deposit. Verse 14, Paul is encouraged to guard the good deposit. In the previous verse, verse 12, Paul speaks of the deposit being his, and here the quote, the direct quote is paratiskling mu, rendered my deposit. Mm-hmm. Verse 14 references deposit as being good. Amen. The good deposit. Reading is teen calling paratiskling, which again, the good deposit, which we have given inference as to what that deposit is. It's the truth and the essence of substance of this deposit was that which was revealed, amen, to Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 10, and you can take these home and read them. Each verse, we don't have time this morning. Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 3 rather, verses 2 and 9. Now, and lastly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It is that which was given to the Apostle Paul, revealed to him. This is why he could legitimately refer to it as my deposit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he makes this reference and testimony that such enlightenment came from through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's by the same indicia Paul, through the Holy Spirit, as he writes here, he's giving instructions, and as he had taught Timothy, the contents of this deposit, and in effect, because it was given and taught, amen, embraced and internalized by Timothy, it became his deposit, amen. And as this verse designated it as the good deposit, the excellent deposit, the choice deposit, the rich deposit, and as you, amen, receive it, as you internalize it, it becomes your good deposit.
Oh.
Notice in that verse, amen, we have the Greek word phrilazon, which is translated guard, amen. In some translations they say keep, I don't think that's strong enough. Guard, amen, which gives more inference on holding on to it and keeping it, amen, and possessing it, amen. Listen, that verb is an imperative aorist. The imperative mood is a command. The aorist tense, oh my God, is a past completed action. So here you have a past completed command. The God it. To keep it, amen, to cherish it, to hold on to it, amen. Above all things, it is the word of God that keeps you, that guides you, and that leads you into the entrance of Christ. Oh my God, we, amen, need to guard and keep, amen, and cherish and hold dear the word of God. Oh, my God, look at that clock.
Glory.
It's so strange.
Amen.
how far up the track we've gotten. Some are way off. I don't mean just veered a little bit to the left, but as we say, where I come from in the South, they're off by a country mile. Way off. Way off. Now, the Holy Spirit is the conductor. The key word in 14, again, we've dealt with, is God. His verb basically means to keep an eye on or to watch in order to partake and preserve. Again, as we said, the use of the aorist tense, imperative mood, these are certifications of a strong possible command. Thus, we should, without any deviation, carefully watch and protect the doctrinal accuracy of the grace gospel, as it is our deposit, as a line in the grace contract. I think I'll repeat this. We should, without any deviation, carefully watch and protect the doctrinal accuracy of the grace gospel. Our contract. This is our deposit. Amen. And the greatest danger that constantly flanked the ministry of grace was and is apostasy in the form of false doctrines creeping into the assemblies. We have some documentation there. There is no spiritual room for incipient compromising and deviating of the grace testament that was revealed to Paul. And now some going to say, you're really narrow. No. All of it's for you, but only our contract is to you. And there's no spiritual room for compromising and deviating from it. Why? Because compromising breeds more compromise. As there is no stopping place, grace temperament assemblies must lift up together their voices to God with one accord. And as Philippians 3:16 states, and we quote, "Moreover, unto that which we have obtained, we are to walk by the same." That is, speaking the same thing. Amen. As we reference Acts 4:24. There, listen, as I go into the home stretch, there should be no sideline agendas. A prearranged worldly supplemental programs, as there is so often today. The local assembly should function as an orchestra with the Spirit of God as its conductor, constituting its entity. As we reference Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. The truth exudes unity of spiritual power, but sadly, conveyance of truth is not a common practice in many local assemblies. The ministry of the Word of God must be the underlying purpose in the edification of the assembly. As we reference 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 26. However, this is lacking in many places because worldly influenced leadership, human organization comprise the order of worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 states, "For God is not of confusion, but of peace. The scriptures give the order for such gatherings."
Yes.
We quote, "That all may learn." This is what it's about. "That all may learn." "That all may learn." "And all may be encouraged." So it's about learning, because as you learn, you're encouraged. You reference 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 31. Thus, in the gathering of the local assembly, There should be freedom for the Holy Spirit to lead the assembly in collective worship, prayer, and in the ministry of God's Word. However, when gathering for the ministry of the Word of God, his focus should be on prioritizing things, listen, eternal and unseen, according to 2 Corinthians 4:18. In the infant transitional kingdom grace assemblies that we read of in Acts, the gifts of prophecy, which were direct revelation from God, and speaking with tongues or foreign languages were present. With the predetermined temporary setting aside of the nation of Israel and the emergence of the Grace Testament assemblies, the sign gift ministries waned. I know it's controversial to say it because, amen, that becomes the order of service in many places. Amen. But the sign gift ministries waned. And many of their former practices actually culminated in secession. In this light, prophecy today engenders setting forth the mind of God on matters as recorded in the Grace Testament scriptures. And when this is done, the order of the gathering must follow that given in the scriptures, as we reference 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 through 40. Hence, the Holy Spirit's instructions are that all things must be done in an orderly fashion to the edification of the assembly. The ministering of the grace gospel is different from prophesying. I think I repeat that. The ministering of the grace gospel is different from prophesying. Yeah. And scripture teaching regarding the orderliness of the gathering must be followed. Amen. Romans chapter 6. Chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. In the ministration of the Holy Spirit, conducting the gathering of local assemblies, he manifestly raised up bishops, pastors, elders, deacons, etc., among the Lord's people, and we have the documentation there. Corroboration of this is stated in Acts 20:28, which states, and we quote, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock among the Holy Spirit made you overseers for what purpose? To feed the assembly of God. Thus these shepherds must meet the qualification outlined in the grace gospel scriptures, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 11. In the grace contract, there are absolutely no scripture requisites for ordination. As these, and talking about man-made ordinations now, as these have been introduced into the church through the reasoning of man-made requirements. In a Grace Testament assembly, there should be no revision among the so-called clergy and laity." And I said so-called, because these are human terms. "As such distinction, not only foreign to the scriptures, but even contrary to its teachings." As we reference Romans chapter 16, verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 to 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18. Though one individual may be recognized as the pastor, it is only in correlation to the order of ministry, which is the only purpose of the terms elder or pastor as titles. They are used to describe mature individuals attending the ministry among the Lord's people in the role of leadership per the Holy Spirit's guidance, as Christ is the exclusive authority over the church. The scriptures clearly teach that all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are also members of the local partnership, and as such are a necessary part of the ministry.
Yes.
In the strictest sense of the grace assembly, the Holy Spirit is its conductor. As we close here and summarize, after scrutiny of the inquiry, according to the scriptures, what is the role and function of the local Grace Testament Church today? Four traits have been view that portray or characterize spiritual operations of the Grace Testament Assembly that gathers and functions in accordance with God's Word. Again, the local Grace Assemblies in the Grace Dispensation function in accordance with the characterization of these four traits. Again, number one, the Grace Scriptures are its charter. Number two, the Grace Recipients are its circumference. Number three, the head. Who is the head? Christ is its center, and the Holy Spirit is its conductor. Many man-made practices and traditions have been brought into the local Grace Assembly which have no grounds in the Grace Testament Scriptures and are in fact contrary to its teaching. What depraved mankind has injected into the church has undermined the directives for the assembling of God's people, engendering added complexities of inducements of physical social accommodations. Despite this obvious fact, many today rigorously continue in these practices, as if such were indeed sanctions of God. Despite the clear teachings of the Grace Testament Scriptures on these truths related to the operations of assembling, many ignore them and consider them unimportant. Ignorantly, and amen, that stays in, it simply means lack of knowledge. Ignorantly, they feel that what they are doing will certainly be pleasing to the Lord, as they fail to comprehend the fact that God desires obedience in all things. Yes, even in the operation of the local assembly of His lake. Yes. We close with this. It is so very important to remember that there is never any justification, hear me, for deviating from God's revealed will. And we quote, "And be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, for you're proving what is the will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect," as we've just quoted from Romans 12:2. In this sense, God's people should search the Grace Testament Scriptures like the Bereans. We quote again, "And these were nobler than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness of mind, every day examining the scriptures or the writings, whether those things were so." Again, that is from Acts chapter 17, verse 11.
Yes.
So local assembly should live by faith, believing God when He speaks, including the directives concerning what is the scripture role of the Grace Testament Church ministry. For those that are listening on the website, amen, go into the doctrinal discourse section and you will see this document in writing. Amen. All heads clear, minds clear, eyes open. Amen. Let's move forward. Amen. And operate in the vein that this is a Grace Testament Assembly. God bless you.
Hallelujah.